you'd know, or no, McCloskey would know better than me, but I think about 10 years ago, they changed the rules. Like, they used to say, that was it. Within 3 years, if you weren't making a profit, but then they went to the four criteria rule. Don't quote me hard on this now. It's either the three out of five rule. Five criteria, to define whether or not you're a serious artist, of which you only have to show evidence of having met three of them in a particular year. Only one of which is you're making a profit or making money.
You're making income.
But not a profit. So that's one. Are you accepted by the profession as being a professional? Are you a member of a professional artistic association or organization that has a standard for admittance? The fourth one is, have you exhibited? Okay. And the fifth one is, there is a fifth one, I think. It'll come to me. But you don't have to meet all of them in any one year. It's just
You're related to the minister.
Related. Oh, yeah. Are you related? Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Are you a member of the party?
So this fellow who started this newsletter, is it a physical newsletter? Or is it an online?
That's a newsletter.
I'm sure you can sign up for it.
The way that I got it through my email.
It's a newsletter that he has a blog. Yeah. He's had a blog for years. And it's had various names and titles and stuff. And it was sort of you had to come to it, to go to it, to read it. Now, this year, he came up with this new newsletter where he pushes an excerpt of the blog to you with a link to his website or whatever, where you can read more stuff.
Hi. Jump in at the end of your lunch.
Jane. We're discussing this, Jane.
Oh, okay. Newsletter.
By the way, I forgot to press record.
Oh, okay. Oh, so we have to start all over again.
No. Okay, take it from the...
I saw a red light and I thought, well, it
those
must
were
be
some
hot.
Of my best thoughts.
Well, they're gone.
They're gone forever. They come,
they go. I have that problem with
I'm
cameras every once in a while.
I have nothing more to say.
I wrote four or five things and I'll send
Tony's
it to him.
Tony's going to miss out.
I actually have a question for you fellas. I suppose it's a pretty tactical question.
Uh-oh.
Because now that I'm taking over this art gallery, I've been looking at some of our artists and their presence online. And I see they have these little thumbnails of their art. Some of them are photographers, but most of them are painters.
When you click on the thumbnail, they don't get bigger?
The trouble I'm having is I look at the thumbnail and I go, some blah Canadian landscape, Then I see the real piece. And it's glorious. I look at the two next to each other, they have almost nothing to do with each other. You can kind of tell the composition. But the color and the texture and the beauty of the thing is
thumbnail
just
thumbnail was done by the artist.
With an iPad, you know. Okay, so last time I was at this meeting in the art area, I asked these guys. So, there must be somebody who really knows how to do
that. David Barber.
And you said David Barber.
Mm-hmm. But I do that. I did that for a lady who published her 50 years retrospective. She was extremely happy with the work. It's not complicated, depending on the artwork you're doing, but it can be very simple in terms of the copy art type of work. But what I find is sometimes people don't want to spend the money to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so
you,
I'm
you need to set up properly and light it properly.
I'm imagining I'm going to be in my gallery, and I'll have all of my equipment there, and the artists can bring in their artwork, and I can take a picture of it to get them a better image than they're having.
Yes, you can do that.
Sure.
And if you want to be certain of color reproduction, you can take some care. You know, you can use a X-ray,
a high display, any calibration.
A calibration.
Okay. Now the trouble is, a lot of people are going to be looking at it through their lousy laptops, so I can't control that. Yeah.
But you can control the file, the quality that you're going to put up on the web.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I heard something about using two polarizing filters to cancel out this or that,
Is it glare from glass?
There could be glare.
You see, you give me anything, even with glass, and anybody here can do it. I use two lights. I use a macro lens, which is pretty good with sharpness of things and so on. I feather my lights. It takes me an hour and a half to set up. I can do 30 pictures in about an hour and a half. And I spend about 2 days working on them afterwards.
But if you have a gallery and you're going to be doing this over and over and over and over, you can do a little setup in your back store.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to have a setup ready to go. And
you know where you put your tripod.
So I was going to use two lights. But I'm a little worried about glare, because you know some of them are paintings.
No. There's no glare. There's no glare. You put anything in there, there's no glare. I have probably over 400 images that I took
of paintings
with glare, with all sorts of stuff. Like Vishal said,
if you light flat, with little soft boxes each side, and you're shooting dead on, you should be okay.
Okay, and you use a macro, but
macro lens.
Okay, so I was just going to use a 50 for not distortion.
Well, if your 50 can focus close enough for your art, you'll be fine.
But my macro is 100, so I have even less distortion.
Yeah.
But all of this to say is that if you want to do a setup, any of us are willing to sit down with you, show you images of what we do, how we handle this and that. Piece of cake.
You guys might come in handy. Yeah.
We hope to be handy.
Yeah. I try to be handy once a week.
Michelle has been up for 2 months.
It's the old scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
That's
how it works.
Hey, you know, when
and Richard
here,
has a twitch.
We were here a few months ago, and there was a fellow here who mentioned that he makes his own digital cameras. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Ralph Nevins.
He's busy today.
Well, I was visiting one of my artists. Yeah. I have artists now, my artists. And she's in a studio out kind of by Nepean. And she said, let me introduce you to this guy down at the end of the hall. It was Ralph Nevins.
Yeah.
And he had his show up there. He's doing these really cool little sculptures.
Yeah, I went to see it.
Sculpture things.
They had an open house. That's probably when you were there.
So on the way, I saw he had a cloud made of a kind of batting material, kind of like cotton. But it's lit with LED lights, so it looks like lightning.
Inside the
pink lightning and blue light. So, since we are the Electric Street Gallery, he's going to hang his cloud, and he'll be our first guest.
All right.
And it's reactive to people moving, right?
Yes. The more people are talking and excited, the more lightning there is. And the more quiet it gets, the more quiet.
And they're telling sad stories, does it rain?
That's version two.
Yeah.
That's the AI version?
That's very good.
Yeah. That's put AI in everything.
So I already have too many artists for the walls. But he goes on the ceiling, so I can fit another artist on the ceiling.
So did you get an answer to your question?
Yes. that I will consult with you guys when I need to do that, which will be soon, because we want to open in April, middle of April.
Where is your gallery?
On Creighton Street. It's just east a little bit.
It has been called the Creighton Street Gallery.
But now it's called the Electric Street Gallery, because that's the other street. It's just a one-block street. Well, great, because I'll need to do that. Because the thumbnails just don't do justice to the art.
Yeah.
It's just and not fair.
There's been a huge shift in technology online. I mean the way things are presented. I think probably photographers are more at the front of it than painters are.
Yeah, but we're probably also suffering more in a way, you know, because the technical shift in display units today, TVs, you know, et cetera, now oversaturate photos.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so we're now in a bit in the sense of, wait a minute, you know, I got to think, well, how's this going to be displayed? This gallery is going to put it on a, you know, a 54-inch TV screen. Oh, holy mackerel, I got to change how I process that image for that kind of environment, you know. Not easy, you know, but yeah. And then, of course, as Rich said, the other side of the coin for us is we don't want to put up high-quality work on the internet. Somebody may rip it off. So you put low quality thumbnails
When you say low quality, lower resolution, because it's high quality perspective in terms of the colors are valid.
Images, right?
Just for myself, I wanted to take a picture of these two. So here you see the image on her laptop, and here's the painting. Of course, it's lit from the back, you don't see it.
Yeah.
But the colors in this one are just kind of like this washed out blue.
That's right.
But here, there are all these greens and aquas and this texture and the paint. Yeah. And even my iPhone did a better job catching it than what she had on her.
But I'll bet you that monitor is not calibrated.
No. So it's partly her monitor. Yeah. So I was panicking about her monitor. Right?
And you have no control over that. You're putting them out there for anybody to look.
Anybody can see them. Yeah.
Can I see your example?
Speaking of backlit, I noticed that Wallach was having a good deal on sketch backlighting. So it's a very thin pad that is LED inside.
Yeah.
It ended up being about $120 for what's the European paper measure?
A4?
A4, I think.
Yeah.
So,
which is like letter size?
Slightly over, right?
Or A4.
A4. And when I went online, I saw that the company sells them for, I think, $250. That might have been U.S., I don't know. Whereas this is... anyway, it just seems like...
What was Wallach selling for?
It ended up being $120. Like, they would give you a certain discount for a certain amount of sale. You
know? Yeah.
And that one, if you just bought one of them, it was about...
And it was to light it from the back for...
Well, it's a backlight panel, and you could use it behind anything, I would think. Comes with it plugs into the wall.
Yeah.
Has a little switch on the cord, and it's very thin.
What would you do with this?
Well, if you had transparencies, or if you had,
like a light box.
I built them before, and it cost me more than that. Yeah. You know, cost me $200 for a similar size 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like a neat thing to have. If you use a medium that you want to backlight, like I would think. Some of the papers too.
There was a photographer at SPOW who did her whole project for SPOW, putting natural like leaves and flowers on a
Barbara
light box.
Brown.
Yes.
I guess.
Does it have a light come through?
Big yeah. light.
Right.
Is that scanning? No.
Somebody else is scanning.
It just backlight the material. Yeah. And that was
the teacher at Ottawa U did scanning of parts, put them together.
Yeah.
They had a big one in the National Gallery that was like 8 by 12 feet. Forest. You know the woman who had a background.
Oh, yes.
Tree planting.
It was all that image on the one wall. Yeah. You went through almost the last room before you exit the floor.
That's right.
Yes.
Scanned objects are very interesting. Like they don't have much of a depth of field. It's sort of focus for depth.
No depth of field.
Can't.
About half an inch.
Oh, no. That's the opposite that I'm saying. That the entire object is in focus.
Only the surface of the object is open.
It doesn't appear that way.
Well, I've done many, many, many of those.
Okay.
And it's only the half inch that's in focus and the rest.
Be right there on the platform.
Oh, yeah.
So when they put a box over the scanner, a black box, and they put objects in there and they cut out all the outside light.
Right.
And I see a reproduction that is fully in focus for 2 inches. What have they done?
About a half inch.
Yeah, that's not what I saw.
Good imagination.
They're in a black a light box. Right. Jake, there may be multiple layers of the objects. Right?
Well, first up was certainly composite out of many objects.
Yeah, but I don't mean composite in the sense of on the same plane. I mean multiple planes. They still have some leaves on this plane, some leaves on the next plane behind it. And my box allows me to have multiple sheets of which I'm backlighting. So I create the illusion of depth by the various planes. Each plane is in focus.
This is homework, everybody.
Yeah,
homework. I'm going to have to show you.
Extreme shallow.
Maybe I misinterpreted.
What touches the glass, and about a half inch, if that, behind it, is in perfect focus. And the rest, gone. Okay. I did my, you saw the gun series that I did?
Yes, well, I've seen it online.
Yeah, that's all done on the scanner.
Yeah.
All you see that it's in focus is the surface of the object.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah. Right.
Well, like, I just discovered a watercolor artist who's really amazing. She's born in Russia. She lived here in Ottawa for some time, but I'm sort of recruiting her. But with her watercolors, she refuses to have them photographed. She wants them on a scanner because they're flat. She doesn't want any distortion that way. So we're just doing that with scanning, just to keep it totally flat.
It sounds like a person who's had something done to her work that she hated and thinks that that's the only way people will do it in. So she's right to say, I don't want this. But a good photographer would not allow something like that to happen.
Okay. But if you can, and it's small enough, your pieces are small enough, that you can put it on a flat scanner.
And if they're bigger, do multiple scans, and you stitch.
And you stitch.
My brother-in-law did something that was about this size, and I said, cut it in four, overlap just a bit, send it to me, went to Photoshop, I said, bring this together, send it back to him. He couldn't believe it. So it's doable, so you gotta talk to the right people. And take notes of those for people who really had something awful done to them work or to their work, and say, listen, you know, that's, we wanna be careful about not doing it. Totally. Because you can't scan everything, it's impossible. We know a lady named Angelina McCormick. She did some excellent work in, 25, 26?
The Dead Flowers?
The Dead Flowers. She even showed in a gallery in New York. She was hired by the Museum of Natural
Nature.
Musée de Nature.
Yeah.
And the scanner took her to a certain level. Afterwards, she had to figure out other ways of doing it.
She has a show right now at the
Atrium.
Atrium. I want to go see it. It was a nasty night for her running stars, so I didn't go. But she was recommended.
Has anyone seen Angelina's work?
I saw it online, but I haven't been there to see it yet.
Me neither.
Where is it now?
It's all with a pinhole camera.
She did,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I heard recently. Yeah.
So what were you saying, that the scanning took her to a certain level, but then she had to do something else?
Yeah, some of the work that the museum asked her to reproduce, probably, I think she had to do large versions of it. There was a point where the scanner couldn't do it anymore, and I don't recall exactly what she did, but
the drawings. They wanted a photographic record of the drawings. These are like prints, I call them, like Autobahn, but it wasn't an Autobahn. These were northern, I think. The biologists had gone in and drawn the Arctic flowers and leaves when they were categorizing them. And the museum was worried about the prints ultimately degrading, so they wanted an archival record. She had to take every one of these and write the big job.
Remember, there's when around the year 2000, there was an art scanner built in New York City that was meant to give was meant to reproduce the depth of paint,
right?
Basically, it was an overhead hit. I recently saw one of the newer cameras has a three camera.
Yeah.
And the output looked as good as. It just had such, like, painting had such depth with that.
So they did it with three lenses?
Yeah, the camera, the phone comes with three lenses. It's one of the newest.
Like the new iPhone
11.
Yeah,
it wasn't a
Samsung or something, but they've got multiple lenses on the back.
Yeah. And they were using it, I think, to look at two sides of a brush stroke, basically, and maybe processing to give contrast to depth. It was something I saw at the Arboretum, the Friends of the Farm art show, which happens when? Happens in August, I think.
If you go up on YouTube and search for the Museum of Modern Art in New York City, you see some YouTubes by the curators on things, how they're capturing images, how they're, yeah, it's fascinating technology stuff. I mean, where they, of course, they've got the money.
And they've got the name, too. If you've got the equipment, you want them to use it, right?
Exactly, yes. You're right.
You're right. Because they're going to talk about it.
They're going to. There's built-in good advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I read something recently that all the impressionist works, that the real masterpieces, they're all rapidly losing color.
Because of the bad paint.
Bad paint. How many hundreds of years do we expect?
Well, apparently they knew at the time.
Oh, really?
Van Gogh was complaining and knew at the time that the color wasn't going to last. So the colors shifted a lot.
No, the old masters knew better, or used better.
I believe so.
Didn't they? These guys too impatient or cheap?
Maybe
or
cheap.
Broke
poor? Maybe poor. Yeah. but I guess they didn't care for longevity. It wasn't a value.
They're in it for a quick buck.
Yeah. I guess. It'll outlast me.
Well, also, it's some of those YouTubes from the bomb, they talk, what they're actually doing, I think it was actually a Van Gogh, the house, or the farmhouse in the field. Or anyway, they're repairing, this is starting here, right? A previous repair, which was a shoddy job done about 20 years ago or 50 years ago, poor chemical stuff. And, you know, I mean, I guess the technology of curation, preservation has really evolved, you know. So they were, oof, what a...
I was, a couple of months ago, I went to Rome. And in the Vatican, they're restoring... previously restored Raphael painting.
Oh, yeah.
And the new versions are...
Is that right?
Much better.
Yeah.
They're figuring out how to bring the color back.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And they set up a room where you actually see I don't know, how would you call those that
the, done? The restoration.
The restoration.
But it got it behind a glass box.
Oh, yeah, behind a glass box, and they're all working with microscopes.
Yeah.
Amazing work.
Quite the science, John. Did you see that exhibition on the Mona Lisa at the Museum of Technology, Science and Technology here?
Oh,
did any of you see it? Oh, you should have seen it. They had this room in there. It was on Leonardo da Vinci exhibition, but they had a room where they had not the Mona Lisa, but this guy who's done photographs of the Mona Lisa with his special camera. And peeled away each layer of the paint back to the original painting. The original painting is actually somebody else. He overpainted it. And then as it evolved, he changed the eyes and where we think the Mona Lisa, that she has no eyebrows. In fact, she does.
He erased it.
He painted over it. But it was this, like... camera that could shoot various, like about 50 layers, one at a time, and then depending on, you know, whether you use infrared or ultraviolet to bring out, you know, something amazing. I saw it twice, and I still don't fully understand the technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta go home and take a picture. That's very inspiring, you guys.
What are you up to?
I'm gonna go home and have a nap before I go out again.
Oh, right.
It's spring, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll sit in the sunshine. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for dropping by. It's good to see you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
See you.
So I missed last month. What's your current project you're working on?
Oh, I mentioned it before that, I think. It's I followed the making of a dance with camera and video. And I'm getting interviews. I just got another one.
Right.
So,
and you're thinking of doing a book on this,
that's
too.
That's right. So, I mean, it just fascinates me. I don't know if I'm making a good book, but like what they do to make a dance fascinates me. I hope I can represent it.
No, earlier we were talking about worried about someone else taking our idea and doing something.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of that, but it made me think of last summer, the Studio Zone 5, we were in a room and essentially Michael gave us the same image. And he said, each one of you work on it. And at the end of the day, sometimes you could say, okay, that's a Glenn Ludworth's image or a Richard Robesco's image, but none really look alike.
No, they're all totally different. The process, each one of us clearly tackled, you know, our mental thinking or what we saw would bring out was different.
Yeah. No. The one place where, so I've been shooting dance lately, and the last one was at GCTC, the propeller dance. And I realized doing it that it's like, I do it a certain way. I'm really an event photographer. That excites me. I'm hunting for the shot in a dynamic situation, right? Yeah. And so that's what I did. And that it reminded me though that last year at the Odd Box, they hired this woman photographer, French speaking young lady, who I think has been involved in dance in other ways, but her product is sort of interactive photography on the dance floor. It's like, and so I was trying to think, well, I thought she did very poorly.
Yeah.
And partly was they didn't help her set up. She could have seen a video of what was going to happen beforehand. She would have known where to be when, you know. But part of it was also that she was performing herself. She was. It was strange, and so I was comparing like my performance to hers, you know, in a way. It was like, and you know, what's the motivation there? So I think, you know, if I broadcast some dance project, she might want to take it over. Jim.
Hey, Jim. How are you? I had to take a phone call from my New York agent, you understand?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Right.
Well, did you say hello from us?
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
Told them that Mr.
I knew many people here that they should really start caring in New York.
Yeah. You know, I had an idea ages ago about online print sale, you know, for a club.
Uh-huh.
And
I remember.
Yeah, I never went anywhere with it.
Yes.
Does anyone have a sense that that would be an interesting thing to do? Like, that it might go somewhere, that it might be useful to do?
Online print for a club, yeah.
But
it's done already.
How do you track it? How do you attract visitors to this website?
Yeah, the problem is gaining.
But you'd have to
eyeballs.
Be good marketing.
Yeah, good marketing.
Well, good marketing, yes.
Yeah. Sure.
Saatchi has tried that.
I know others have tried it, and that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Saatchi can attract, right? But it.
But what are you talking about? Because I want to relate to what I've seen at in Madrid.
In Madrid?
In Madrid, in the Del Prado Museum, okay?
Yeah.
You would walk in, you had a catalog of things, and you say, that's what I want. They would print it and then hand it over to you. That's
right.
It.
Yeah. So it's a reproduction of an artwork.
Of whatever.
Yeah.
So in your gallery, you could have a catalog of Robesco's shots and sell them for so much.
Without having them physically there.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Print on demand.
Print on demand.
Well, that's what's her name? Kostuk in Vancouver. Most of the, she's got her gallery, you know, photographs up there, and paintings to them. But the one I was looking at, you know, you get the same image in different sizes.
Okay? Yeah.
But they don't pre-print them. In the size. They've got a couple there you can see. It's the same thing. Go to the gallery and tell her, I want him to print this image. And he prints then on demand. It's him though, not them. And then the gallery ships it to you. But it's a way to save, you know, why print 20 images of 16 by 40 and get in the expense of paper just sitting there? And
is that what you were thinking of?
Nothing so detailed. Just how to organize people that I know who produce prints. How to organize
through a gallery,
group sale.
Through a gallery like Irene's.
You need a gallery.
Yes.
You think you need a physical gallery.
You need a piece to see.
Because they need to, then you need to give them the piece of paper.
Yeah.
The thing on which it's printed.
It's getting crowded out there on the online world of online galleries. And brokers of other people's art. It's getting crowded. You got the Saatchis and the Art Sources and the
I've seen a few.
What are realistic statistics of sales of these online?
Well, you need an angle of some sort. Right. Yeah. So at our little gallery, it's local. People want to support their local artists.
Yeah.
Would you sell your work this way, Jim?
Oh, as long as I'm not doing the work required to make the sale. Sure.
So you'd find your way in there?
Yeah.
You would find your way in a system like that?
I don't mind selling via the web. I have my doubts as to the
usefulness of the effort.
As to the possibility. Because of the difficulty in the cacophony of the web having any presence whatsoever. I think most of the people that I know have websites. And they drive a certain amount of traffic themselves through their website. To date, I don't know anyone, zero, who have made sales through their website.
I've made three in 5 years.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I now can say I know one person.
Three in 5 years.
That's pretty good. That's better than zero.
No.
I mean, I know people, you know, people go through my website to contact me and then
we meet.
But it's because they've seen a physical print.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But sometimes, you know, in the cycle of buying, there's the closing. Mm-hmm. So if you walk into a place and you see things and you say, oh, I want this, close.
Yes.
Okay? On the web, you're very passive. I mean, I'm not saying one is better than the other or worse, but I'm saying that there is a, you know, the Del Prado experience that I saw, they go in and they buy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
My sense, and I mean, could be totally wrong, just my sense of going up there.
But they're buying,
is that what really, the only thing that sells, as Jim's saying, on online sales is that, is if you're a name already, okay? And so somebody says, I want a Richard Robesto, you know, I don't need to see the print because, you know, he's already world famous, blah, blah, blah. I need a print of that, you know. And, what the hell's his name? The photographer, my photographer friend in the Everglades.
Butchered.
Yeah. He sells on the web. But of course, because I want to own one of his prints.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to see them anymore. Yeah. I've seen them before. Yes. I've handled them before.
There's some kind of perceived value.
There's a perceived value there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's fine art.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that, I mean, and the thing that the web offers is sort of instant ordering.
Yes. Yeah.
And maybe if you're not trying to sell them as fine art prints, you might sell images. But then you have these giant,
like stock,
poster jacks of the world.
Yeah.
Make $5.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If that.
Yes. It's not worth my time.
Yeah. It used to be able to. Who was it here in Ottawa?
If you're selling a million
a
day,
online those sales. But now he said the price per image is dropped.
On stock sales.
Stock sales has dropped so badly.
Barbara has a good friend who dropped out of that.
Yeah, somebody. He said the price is really.
Dropped out of that. He was a superb stock photographer.
Yeah.
I mean, he made a lot of. Yeah. He made a good living for 15 years at least, and very upper middle class existence. And then the 2008 whatever crash, and it never recovered. It was already, but he was as good at business as he was at photography. And he was a brilliant photographer. Mm.
Maybe that's wrong.
And he got out of the. He took a regular job as a photographer after that.
Yeah.
Which itself is not easy, but it's easy compared to stock.
Mm-hmm.
The way professional landscape photographers, anyway, are making their living today is by leading trips.
Yes. That's it. Yeah.
I mean, I've had
all these, but yeah,
three photographic tour guides,
three professional landscape photographers that are, some repute. Yeah. Tell me that's the way they make
their money.
They do a bit of commercial work.
Yeah.
They make a few print sales themselves.
Yeah.
But a few magazine sales, but fundamentally,
that's the business of photography.
That's the business today. Yeah. If you're in landscape,
you're offering unique places.
You're offering your expertise
and your expertise
and the chance to it's value for money. My experience. I've now taken two tours. And they know where they're going, and you do more shooting in 1 week than you would if you in 5 years of trips.
Like fishing with a guide,
learn where to catch fish.
Yeah.
I went on one such trip. It was almost 10 years ago. But it was the fellow's first time doing that, so we got a break on the deal, but we were having dinner at the gas station because the restaurants were closed. There were a lot of things that he hadn't quite worked out, because he was a great photographer, he was a teacher. But he needed to pair up with someone who could manage all the logistics.
Oh, yeah.
They were pretty disastrous. And we were quite uncomfortable.
Well, the famous story about
New Mexico.
Because we got it on, I'm not going to mention the name, but a famous photographer in Toronto who did a led tours. And then I know somebody who took one. And he said, well, this guy, all he did was get in the front of the canoe, and he always took the best spot to take the photograph. It was clear what we were doing. It was paying for his trip.
Yes.
And providing
he was power. A battle power. Yeah.
No, there are and I know one like that myself. Yeah. Very big name.
Yeah.
And, that's exactly what you're paying.
I have to say, our group did take some amazing photos, and we did have a wonderful group show after it, which he helped us, you know, from capture all the way to show get our images up there. So that was great. The thing I remember the most was eating at the gas station.
Gas station meal.
Interesting the market you're in, though. You know, if you're going back to your kind of landscape and everything. Going to the, as I'm a member of the, member of the Foyer Gallery. Well, we sell a hell of a lot of art now compared to what I think of. But it's all paintings.
Yes.
And, you know, and pretty pictures. And I don't say that negatively. It's just clearly that market is decorative art.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And not photography decorative art. It's painting.
Right.
I want it in my living room again.
People will pay hundreds of dollars for a mediocre painting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a unique mediocre painting. There's only one.
Yeah. The public doesn't understand.
Yeah, it's handmade.
Never has, but even now, much less.
But that's a unique flower pot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only one.
It's a unique lousy painting.
But it matches the couch.
You have to encourage artists to grow.
Yes.
Someday this will be worth if they persist.
I don't think we should be doing photography to make money.
No.
Yes, we aren't.
We're successful. As I say, I've submitted 10 years of taxes, with a loss every year.
Yes.
And they're still allowing my expenses.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I didn't think the government would let you.
Yeah, they changed it. I've done it now. I'm running this. I just filed last week. So there's another. That's about 6 years now, 7 years of losses. But you don't have to have made money. That they switched the criteria from about 10 years ago.
I'm always very careful.
Yeah.
To make money.
Five criteria. Oh, yeah. And you only have to meet three.
Yeah.
So
Oh, what five criteria?
The five criteria. So one, you have one criteria is sales.
Yes.
Okay. Doesn't mean profits. Sales.
Sales.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second is you're accepted amongst your colleagues as a professional.
Yeah.
And third is you're a member of a professional artistic association that has admittance criteria.
Yeah.
Okay. That rules us out here.
Oh,
the fourth one is you exhibited,
mm-hmm.
and I forget what there's a fifth one. We were joking. Is you remember the party or you know?
So it's essentially like.
And
the
as
artist.
Long as you in any year can show evidence of three out of the five, you're fine.
Okay.
That they've finally accepted that 98% of Canadian artists have to have other jobs in order to survive.
Yeah, yeah,
art
isn't
a paying proposition.
But you're not a photographer. You're an artist photographer.
Yeah,
no,
you got to follow.
Yes.
It's not a business.
I'm an artiste.
An artiste, that's right.
But that's right. Like, are you a photographer with studio and
yes.
and you
that's
do...
That's a business. That's a business. Taking pictures of kids. Cats. Weddings. Weddings and funerals. That's a business.
Well, I'm keeping my receipt from today.
Yeah.
It's going in my taxes.
Well, having a professional discussion.
It's good.
I am.
Is it what? There's a character in Dickens that says that the secret to happiness is to keep your outflow less than your inflow.
Yeah.
You know, one shilling difference,
disaster.
You'd ended up in debtor's prison.
Yeah.
I think finance has gotten more complicated since then.
So, Richard, when are you hanging your show?
When? I think that's next Monday, right?
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Not this coming Monday, but the Monday after.
Correct.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The second.
Okay.
I have a lot going on that day, including Ralph Nevitt's Hanging His Cloud.
Right.
Okay. And you're opening up then, or?
No, not until
month.
April.
Okay.
End of April, even.
What time do you want to do this?
You want to start in the morning so I can come?
You're going to tell me?
Yeah. Okay, well, I better nail it down.
Right.
It has been a problem every time we've done it so far.
We don't want it to be a problem.
No, I don't want it to be a problem. And so I have to make sure that they line up somebody to open the door at the time
we want.
That
would be a good idea. Yeah.
Now, I would like for us to start about 10.
10 would be wonderful.
Mm. And you want to take down the same time? In the morning? On Monday?
Well, if he takes down on the Monday, then I'll be here at noon. Because it's going to take him a couple of hours.
No, it's going to take about an hour.
An hour?
This goes down.
11.
Oh, yeah.
It'll take me another hour to unthread everything, but to get it off the walls, very fast.
Yeah. And there's lots of room here. It's an empty room.
Right.
You know, so he can use
closed.
A table over there.
Right.
It's closed.
What time do they open?
They don't open on Monday.
Oh, okay.
But they do open at 11 other
days.
Yeah.
So you're going to use the laser level?
I will.
I want to see this.
I
want to see this process.
It's so complicated. That's it.
I wrote to your printer.
You wrote to my printer?
And he'd never written back. And I started wondering whether my email
got through.
Do you have the right
I hope
email?
So. I got
is
it off the website.
Is this display laminate?
No,
it's his and
Damon.
Damon.
Seems to me like it was a functional email.
No?
Print technician say, PT at Damon, you know, something like
that's
that.
What were you writing about?
Oh, just, we went and we saw this this stickable paper.
Yes.
And I was offering him cloth on paper. Samples.
Okay.
And so
the
conversation
c'est l'adresse
that, you know,
qui annonce,
I'll bring it to him sometime.
Infographique. Oui, mais je l'ai. Mm-hmm. Ce que je te dis, c'est que ça existe. Oui,
mais ça, c'est pas bien bon. Il répond pas à ça.
Oui, mais Damon est reconnu par Infographique, Damon.QC. Is that the first? Here.
Infographique.
That's the good one. DamonImpressions@gmail.com.
Okay.
That's the one he answers.
And oh, he's got the right thing.
I'm letting you into a little secret.
Okay.
The other one he reads maybe once a week.
I had a page.
Oh, don't take it. Take his.
Take his. Okay.
Oh, if you want, Damon's in full. He's here. Here. Your iPhone. Hang on. I'll send it to you.
Okay. I can do that. That's easier.
So maybe you're not as rough to everyone.
No S.
No, hang on.
Yeah. Have you ever tried cloth on the new chat? Cloth imprinted on
canvas.
Canvas, no, but this is like lightweight silk.
Yeah, I
glued on the paper with a backing.
Yeah.
You have.
I haven't, but no problem.
On the paper.
As long as you can get a profile. Do you have a profile for it?
You can remove the paper?
Yeah. You print it and then remove the paper. Yeah. I did a long time ago with one of the rinky dink. Haven't since.
I tried to make it for a while, but take butcher paper and iron it to the cloth. And but you can buy it out of California.
You know how much a good printer costs, and you're gonna run
threads through it.
Yeah. Little miseconomy here, I think. Jake.
No, Jim did one on the paper that I bought.
Right.
Jim did the derivatives.
Right.
And it was fantastic.
Would you like the
derivatives? Translucent.
To your competition.
That would have been in 2012.
Show me Michael's address. Let me see.
Is he going to appreciate your spreading his address? Don't tell him where I got it.
Don't tell But their website is problematic.
Yeah, out of date.
We know that it's problematic.
That show that they told us about at the Gatineau City Hall?
Yes, the
in the Galerie Moncal? Amazing. Huge.
Big prints.
With the post-it notes, sticky stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Quality. I was very impressed.
We had a show there, and we did that with vinyl.
Yeah,
people have been using vinyl for years.
This isn't vinyl.
No, it's absolutely
fabric.
You need a special solvent printer to print on vinyl. So these vinyl prints,
right,
have been typically historically produced with what's called a solvent print. Outdoor technology.
Did that at display laminated industrial printers.
Yeah, they're industrial grade.
It's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean there's trade-offs.
If you sit next to the guy who's doing the print and you go,
that's
off.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's a little bit less off. Do it again. And now you're getting closer. Do another one. Okay.
And is this one of those printers that you can cut with?
No, that's another thing.
Yeah, that's an industrial solvent-based print with a cutter, CMC cutter, basically.
Oh, no.
Vinyl. Little things. You pin them in mass, and the thing cuts them out.
Oh, that'd be nice. So what kind of images are they? Are they low? Is it low DMAX, low gamut images, low contrast? Or
that's why I wanted you to go look at it.
Because that's the issue for me, is how bad, I know just from looking at the spec, that you've got less Dmax and less gamut than you would on even a matte paper. I know that from the spec. What I don't know is how severe the impact is visually.
Yeah.
That's what
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the image. You know, don't certain images, I think it'll be perfect.
It tends to be okay.
Mm. See, don't put one of your good print of the image beside it.
No.
Beside what they do, because then
don't compare it. Don't compare it to the best possible print you can do.
Well, that's.
Don't compare it.
Yes.
And
can I live with this?
Oh, yes. Okay. No, I'm sure I can live with
this. Is this good? So, is this good enough?
All I want is this one wall.
So it's this wall, this wall, that back wall.
Yeah.
See, I told you we should.
That
back wall. And
they got tired of me putting holes in the front wall.
So I think this is where we'll put the artist statement.
Yeah.
So it just
nobody
says,
sees it, over
it
there.
Says that
nobody.
This is the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the special one, right?
Nobody's gonna get up.
This
that
is where
close
I'm gonna be hanging. The
closeness is an issue of detail.
But they're gonna get up closer.
Oh, yeah. I thought there were some other
closeness that is an issue of detail.
Yeah, I have two big ones.
Here.
Smaller framed ones hanging here.
Oh, okay.
And the rest will be stuck on there.
Yeah.
Pretty good for a restaurant space, actually.
They're all.
I mean, it's not New York Gallery lighting.
Except for two that are larger. So I'm thinking maybe the larger image in the middle and smaller ones.
Breaking up.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will look forward to seeing it.
Yes.
And then we'll from there.
11 o'clock.
I'll look forward to being able to not wear my dark sunglasses, you know, around the neighborhood. Got such celebrity now.
It's been tough, I'm sure.
Right. Duck into doorways.
But me personally, I want to be out of here by 1:30.
That would be great.
Yeah. So we can probably do it from 11, but I'm going to be here at 10.
Yeah.
Maybe we can start taking things down.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
And you're going to reconfirm that.
I will. Yeah. That the door will be open. So I will let you two know.
That's good.
Or three. You want to know?
Yeah. I want to help and see how it goes.
Okay.
Then I have to go deal with Ralph hanging the car at 1 o'clock.
Ah, okay.
That should be interesting. So what is this cloud? Again, I know you.
It's made out of kind of a gauze, like you would stuff a quilt.
But I've seen the